All right, I talked to you about the perfect time of year to go out and enjoy some of the wild edibles that are just starting to sprout their heads now. Of course, maybe some of the areas that have had flooding, not so much, but let's find out. Joining us now is Karen Stevenson from Edible Wild Foods in Toronto. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Angelo.
How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. I haven't talked to you in a while. How does this water condition affect what you do, and that is looking and collecting wild foods?
Well, I live just outside of Toronto, so the water hasn't affected my ability to go out there and forage. However, our friends to the north and to the east, I don't think they're going to be getting fiddleheads this year.
You think it's going to bypass, right, because of the water levels?
For lack of a better phrase, I think they're going to miss the boat.
Okay, well put. Well put. But there's a ton of other edibles out there that most of us don't know. But obviously, the fiddlehead is probably the most obvious, along with morels and other types of mushrooms. We have our own in-house mushroom king who talks to us about those on a regular basis. So we know those two. But there's a host of other edibles that I'm talking about me, that I would never even notice out there unless I had some sort of training, unless I spent time researching. And that's what you specialize in. Tell us
about
it. Yes,
I do.
Tell us about that.
There are literally a plethora of wild plants out there that are a valuable source of food. They provide us more minerals and vitamins than any produce you're going to find on the grocery store shelf. And from the common dandelion to plantain, which grows pretty much in everybody's front or backyard. You mentioned, you need to know what you're looking for. Safety is always number one. But in many ways too, this is sort of, I was listening to Dr. Tremblay earlier, and he was saying that, we've evolved in nature to live. And for me, that includes wild plants, because we've come so far away from the foods that people used to eat many years ago.
Yeah, it's not like they were just introduced. It's not like this whole notion is something, that we discovered on the internet here.
Exactly. we are here today in 2019 because of the thousands of years of people eating these foods.
I want to talk to you about the programs that you have where people can come and learn more about this and actually learn where, how, when to pick these things. But can you sit tight for a couple of minutes? I do have to take a quick sports break.
Sure.
Karen Stevenson from Edible Wild Foods on the line with us, and she's going to talk to us about where we can learn to maybe sustain ourselves without necessarily going to the grocery store every weekend. More Journal after this on Shadir Gawai. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo and Kyle Norris joining us from The Fan, as they do each and every week. They're there. Sometimes I wonder why they're there, but then when I shake my head, I know exactly why they're there, because if they weren't there, we'd go wild.
Yes.
Just like the food we're about to talk about. On the line with us is Karen Stevenson. She's with Edible Wild Food in Toronto, and Karen, among other things, teaches courses on edible wild foods. She teaches the right way to identify plants and how to properly harvest the plant for the table. And she's been on the program before. And she's a great person to sort of get in touch with our roots, because our roots were very much about foraging wild plants. That's the way we used to sustain ourselves. Now it seems like, oh wow, wild edibles, that must be a new technology we just learned on the internet.
What brand is it?
Yeah, exactly. So tell us about the course, if you could, for a moment, Karen.
Okay, there isn't any one specific course, because what I do is I tailor different programs to different people, from the newbies to the more experienced. Some people are more interested in the medicinal factors of the plants. Some people are more interested in how do you actually use these in the kitchen instead of harvesting. So my programs that I have on my website are for the general public at large, and I do a lot of programming for private groups and private individuals. For example, next weekend I'm going to be teaching on Manitoulin Island.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm looking forward to that
shooting.
One.
I'm going to be shooting there. I think it's in August. We're shooting a Fish in Canada show on the islands. I'm looking forward to
that. Oh, where about? I'll be there in August as well.
Oh, well, let's hook up. Maybe you can take us out for an afternoon and show us what we can harvest. I'd love that.
Absolutely.
That's really cool.
I'm serious. So let's make sure after the program that we...
I will tweet you.
Perfect. Fantastic. So how do folks get involved? How can they get involved in one of these outings?
Okay, first of all, you can either go to my website, which is ediblewildfood.com. I use the same URL for my Facebook page, Edible Wild Food at Twitter. And, or just shoot me an email, info@ediblewildfood.com, and we can get the ball going.
Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to you, I've got earmarked here, you know, there's always been a bit of a fear out there as to picking the wrong stuff, and it's poisonous, and you'll die, and all that, and it's usually related to mushrooms. Can you give us sort of a sense, and I'm not suggesting, by the way, for a moment, that people go out and pick mushrooms and eat them without, you know, having some sort of information, but can you give us an idea of how big or how small the chances of that are from happening?
They're very small in terms of it happening from plants. Berries are an exception also to the mushrooms. And statistics reveal that the vast majority of mushroom poisonings actually come from people who are come from other countries to Canada because they think that they are finding a specific mushroom they are accustomed to, but it's a very close lookalike. So a lot of the poisonings come from that, from those individuals, which is very sad. But from plants, it's very low. And I teach individuals that if you get to know the plant families, that helps you to never make a mistake. For example, the parsley family has a lot of toxic family members, so let's stay away from anything that looks like parsley. Whereas plants in the mustard family and the mint family, once you learn the identifying features, which is something I instill in people, you may come across a plant, you haven't got a clue what it is, but because of those identifying features, you know it's in that specific family, therefore it's safe to consume.
Do we have any, and I know this is probably a dumb question to you, but believe
no
me, it's hurting my brain
question.
Right now. Do we have any edible fruits out there? I mean, we've been talking about vegetables, you know, fiddleheads and asparagus and watercress and leeks. Do we have any fruits out there locally?
Not at this time of year. Okay. I stand corrected. The partridge berries are out right now. Lots of partridge berries in some of the forests around the GTA. They're kind of dry, a little bit mealy, but it's all how you prepare them.
Do you think if a person were lost in the woods and they were armed with knowledge of, you know, edible and consumable either vegetables or fruits, do you think they could sustain themselves for a long period of time on this stuff, or is
Absolutely.
It just kind of a nice add-on? They could?
Yep. I do winter walks. I show people how they're going to survive in the winter if there was no food around. You're going to feel hungry, but I can give people the information they need that will give them the fat, the carbohydrates, and the proteins in order to survive to get to springtime.
Wow. And see, that to me alone would be worth a course. For anybody who spends time in the outdoors, I think that would be worth a course in itself. Think about it. I mean,
it's food. Because many people do go out and, I mean, I've done it myself where I get sidetracked, I'm off the trails, and next thing you know, I'm looking around going, uh-oh, where'd the trail go? You know, it's like, okay, where's the sun? Oh, yeah, the sun's behind the clouds. That's not going to help. So, yeah, I think it's important to know.
But even to add to that, if I could for a moment, you know, especially if you're into portaging and backwoods adventures and stuff, wouldn't it be great to be able to pull over from the trail and go grab something that you can munch on real quick, as opposed to, you know, dipping into the Ziploc bag of, you know, the various mixes that we buy at stores?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A great example of that is I tried that for 2 days with a friend of mine. We went up to Thunder Bay because I teach in Thunder Bay every summer. And last year I was accompanied by a really good friend of mine, Colleen, and we were out there and we sustained ourselves on eating wild greens and the service berries and the raspberries and the strawberries. And we were hiking for 10, 11 hours and we came back feeling absolutely fine. And we actually felt better than we ever did.
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely outstanding. It's called Wild EdibleWildFood.com is the website, EdibleWildFood.com, and her name is Karen Stevenson, expert in that field. Karen, thank you very much. I look forward to hooking up with you if we can get together up in August.
In Manitoulin in August, absolutely.
Fantastic. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Karen Stevenson, Edible Wild Food. That's ediblewildfood.com. Fascinating subject. I love it. I got to get myself a little better versed on that whole thing and see if I can cut down on my grocery bills.
Yeah, save some money.